Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My next guests are leading a month-long celebration of women in Jacksonville, Oregon. Carolyn Kingsnorth is president of Historic Jacksonville. Welcome, Carolyn.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me.
And Abby McKee is president and CEO of the Brit Festival in Jacksonville. Welcome, Abby.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
So, Carolyn, let's start with learning a little bit about the work that you do at Historic Jacksonville.
Oh, wow. Well, we'll start with the mission. The mission is to bring the buildings in Jacksonville to life through programs, activities, events, etc., because otherwise our wonderful National Historic Landmark District is just old buildings with names and dates on them. And what they really are, they are history, and they all have stories to tell. So that's part of what our Then and Now series is about, is sharing these stories, the stories of the buildings and of the people who inhabited them.
How old is Jacksonville?
Well, Jacksonville began as a gold rush camp in, 1852. Gold was discovered in that winter, and something really interesting happened. It was actually discovered by the son of an Indian agent, and when two packers came through carrying supplies down to the gold camps in California, they stayed with the Indian agent. They spent a night there, and they heard about the discovery. And so they took the opportunity to pan a little, and they found gold. And so when they got down to Yreka, what they did was file donation land claims. And then they did something unusual, or at least one of them did, James Cluggage. He publicized the find, and nobody tells where they found gold, but what he did was he made a fortune selling land from his donation land claim.
Okay. So then word got out, and the rest is history.
You got it.
Abby, tell me about the Brit Festival. How long has it been around?
I
was just asking, how long has it been around?
Brit was formed in 1963 by John Trudeau. He came down from Portland and had been visiting Southern Oregon and Ashland for years and years and wanted to start a music festival here. So he wandered up on the Brit Hill, which at the time, and you know, Carolyn, you might be able to speak to this with a little more authority, but at the time, the Brit Hill was, I think, basically a blackberry bramble.
blackberry and poison oak.
Yeah. And he noticed how excellent the acoustics were and decided that that was sort of where he wanted to plant his flag. And Brit was started literally within 48 hours. He had wandered down afterwards to the diner of what is now Cowhorn Kitchen and Wine. And the mayor of Jacksonville was the proprietor, and they got to talking about it. And that night or the next night was a city council meeting. And Brit was founded and born and given the go-ahead.
Okay, so we've talked about the guys who came and found gold, and we talked about the guy who started Brit. How did women get into the historical record in Jacksonville? Carolyn?
Well, often they were the behind the scenes, but there were some that were very prominent leaders. For example, Brit has now purchased the historic 1880 U.S. Hotel, and that was built at the behest of a very predominant, I'm not quite sure what the word to use, French lady, Madame Jean de Ribaumoisier Guilfoyle Holt. And she was a hotel proprietress and had long, though, she ran the Franco-American Hotel, which was considered one of the finest hostelries in the area. But she had longed for a grand brick hotel for a long time. And so the story is that she actually married the local brick mason, George Holt, so he would build her the hotel. We have a photo of him in some very ill-fitting studio garb with a top hat on. I suspect he was a lot more comfortable in his work clothes. And the story also goes that she made him walk behind her when they were on the sidewalk. But he built her the fine brick hotel. And that was the central community gathering spot for ages, and so we're now so excited that it's now belongs to Brit, and they're going to bring it back to life.
So at the time that she had this hotel built for her, what was the time period, and what was the population of women in Jacksonville?
Oh, the time was 1880. He started in about 1878. the population of women, you know, we really don't know. There were most of the women filled the role of wife and mother. There were some who did work outside of the house, but it was often more in the role of nurse or nanny. A few had stores. And then there were the daughters of the wealthier families, many of whom actually never married because they were financially well enough off, they didn't need to. And one of the issues that happened at the time is if you married, your property became your husband's.
Oh, wow. So these were women of means and power.
You got it. There was a provision where if you got your husband to sign off on it, you could declare a Married Women's Property Act and retain ownership, but your husband had to sign off.
Hmm.
I suppose in many cases that was a prenup.
Okay, the earliest prenups. My guests are Carolyn Kings North, president of Historic Jacksonville, and Abby McKee, president and CEO of the Brit Festival. So, Abby, Carolyn was telling us that this hotel is now owned by Brit. How did that happen?
So Brit has been, for about 40 years, Brit has been desiring to move into downtown Jacksonville as our administrative office space. That we found a strategic plan document from the board that was approved in 1984 or 1985, and the top goal was find administrative office space in downtown Jacksonville. Our office now is in Medford, but we have really wanted to be in the community that we most directly impact and really close to the Hill where we conduct all of our most public-facing activities. So in probably fall of 2023, we started a conversation with the county, who at the time owned the U.S. Hotel, about potentially acquiring that building. And it was a nice, long, slow process where we all got to think through all of the details of it. But over the summer, last summer, we had due diligence, and we took ownership of the property in August. And now we have a couple of years of fundraising and renovation that needs to happen in order to make it seismically sound and make it a space where we can welcome the community. But we're really looking forward to turning that space into not only our administrative office, but an education center, community space, and space for smaller off-season programming, which is really exciting.
Well, Carolyn, the U.S. Hotel is iconic in Jacksonville.
Very much so.
How did it become called the United States Hotel?
Well, it actually, it's been the site of a hotel since as early as 1852, shortly after the Gold Rush Camp was established, if you will. A man named Jesse Robinson took squatter's rights on the site and a two-story wooden brick building that stood there at the time. And it was called the Robinson House and supposedly served the elite of the community. But then he was bought out, and it was renamed the Union Hotel. And then a man named Lewis Horn purchased that, and he renamed it the U.S. Hotel. Now, that was a big wooden structure, but it's been a U.S. hotel ever since. And I suppose a lot of that had to do with also Oregon becoming a state about that same time that this was taking place. And so I think probably it was named the U.S. Hotel to emphasize that Oregon was now no longer a territory. It was one of the part of the United States.
So is it called the U.S. Hotel or the United States Hotel?
It's called the U.S. Hotel.
Okay. So, Abby, tell us about this event on March 8th called Then and Now.
Yeah, well, I think this has really been the brainchild of Carolyn and Historic mm-hmm. Jacksonville, but I believe we are really excited to share both the history and the future plans for the building and how we feel it is a bit of a North Star corner in Jacksonville. So I think it's for us a real opportunity to talk about how this building is bridging from one of the most important historic structures, one of the structures that was a key landmark of Jacksonville becoming America's earliest or one of America's first National Historic Landmark towns, and really thinking about how it bridges from that history into becoming a cultural hub for the future.
Do you have any time frame for when Brit offices will occupy the building?
We are really hoping for 2027. So we'll be launching a very significant fundraising campaign, and we're working with Ashland Firm Architect on our architecture plans. And we're so excited. We couldn't get in there soon enough, as far as all of us are concerned.
Well, what kind of work needs to be done in order to make sure that happens?
Yeah, we will be doing some seismic retrofitting, and we're not sure exactly what that will look like until we open up some walls. We are preserving the ballroom because that is, of course, one of the most important gathering spots in Jacksonville, and one of the few parts of the building that we believe is the original footprint from the original floor plan. There are, as far as I know, no surviving original floor plans from 1880. The building has been renovated many, many times. But we will also hopefully be able to embark on a renovation of the third floor attic and turn that into classroom space and education center. So it's a big project, but we're really committed to doing this right. We're working with wonderful folks here in the community with expertise around how to do this in a way that honors the history of the building while also revitalizing it for the next generation and for generations to come.
So the U.S. Hotel and the story of Madam Holt and her management of the hotel is just one part of a month-long celebration of women in Jacksonville. Is that right, Carolyn?
It is. Well, it's actually a part of a year-long celebration of the town and its history, where we're going to be spending most of the year looking at the historic buildings in the National Historic Landmark District and talking about their history, but also their current uses and what the future might hold. This month is women. I think next month, I think they're looking at restaurants. The talks will be there, those buildings. At one point, it'll be at wineries, but different themes based on what the theme of the month is. And in fact, Historic Jacksonville is expanding on it because we're also offering then and now tours, daily life then and now tours, at the historic Beekman House, which was the home of Jacksonville's richest and most prominent pioneer family. But we're looking at the difference 125 years makes in your lifestyle between 1900 and 2025. I mean, think about it. When there was you had no cell phone. In fact, you had no phone. You had no internet. You had no radio. You had no TV. For that matter, you didn't have electricity. You didn't have running water. You didn't even have bathrooms. And so we're doing a comparison of what it would have been like to live 125 years ago.
Oh, wow. So what other Jacksonville events should we mark on the calendar?
Well, there's always something going on, that's for sure. The Chamber, of course, will be doing the Parade of Inns again in May, and they are expanding it. I think they're trying to add about five more new locations. Again, this is another way to share the history of the buildings. One of the things that we're really working on, we're working with the mayor, with the chamber, and with a number of other organizations, including Brit, to basically move the Jacksonville's history and its role more to the forefront. Because one of the things that happened when Jacksonville created its city plan, or its 20-year plan in 2008, the Southern Oregon Historical Society was still there, having its museum, managing multiple buildings, and the city just assumed at the time, and the community assumed, that they would be there forever, and that, of course, they would cover the history portion. So that didn't get written into the comprehensive plan. And so what we're wanting to do now is go back and bring it, put it in the role it should have.
Okay, well, we only have about 20 seconds left. Abby, what's the next big thing for the Brit Festival? When does its season open?
Season opens in June, and our next big announcement will be March 14th. So be sure to get your tickets at our website, britfest.org. It's a great way to support the project.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we're out of time. So thank you both.
Thank you.